Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza. A message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, we'll pray with you. Having a question about a lesson, we'll do our best. And the Lord Jesus answered for you. If you have any comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So we thank God for all you listening at this 7:01 hour Central Standard Time here in the United States. And we welcome all of you that are listening, no matter what country you're listening to us from, Germany, Japan, South Korea, we welcome you all. Uganda, Kenya, we welcome you. And every country I have not named, we welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. So we're grateful for another blessed day in the Lord. And amen. So according to my laptop here, it says that we're looking at 79 degrees and sunny today. So it kind of a little warm, but, you know, we are in fall. And I'm grateful, you know, for cooler temperatures that have been happening, especially in the morning side. So we thank God for that. As we have entered, now we have been approximately, 11 days into a new season of fall. So we are grateful to the Lord for that. Amen. And so for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know it's Monday. It means the angel messenger speaks today. Our brother Eddie Lee, and the sisters joining him are going to lead on this broadcast today. They're going to bring the word of God to you, whether it's coming from scripture or testimony or whatever it may be, whatever God, our Lord Jesus Christ, given to them, that is what they're going to bring. So once again, you know, I ask for all of you that's listening, amen, to hear the word of the Lord as it is given today, and take what you hear back to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in this day and time, you must establish a connection between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very important that that is so, and you get this thing established. Amen. And I am grateful to the Lord for the things that he's about to do in your lives. Those of you especially who've been going through, holding on to the promises of God, proclaiming the word of the Lord, I'm grateful for the things that he's about to manifest, you know, in your life this day. And as I said before, keep the communication lines open between you and the Lord. You know, as I said a few times earlier, there are many people popping up claiming to be prophets, okay? Now, I'm not saying every last one of them wrong, but I have seen some people, especially on social media, they have made things like into a soap opera. And one of the things I've seen has been a focus among many of them on the social media is the kingdom spouse thing. Now, we know that the Lord knows who can be with who. He said, marry someone in the Lord. That's what he told the Christian. But it seems as though that this thing popping up is getting people's focus on, quote, the kingdom spouse and not the things of God, okay? And that is a problem, okay? You know, it is nothing wrong with you seeking the Lord about who you should marry. It's nothing wrong with that. But be careful where you're focused. And I've seen where that many are popping up and they saying, oh, your kingdom spouse this, your kingdom spouse that, your kingdom spouse is thinking about you. Your kingdom spouse is sad. You know, and it sounds like a story, like a, you know, and many times people know what people want to hear to get them entertained. And so now it seems like there's a riser where that it's about entertainment through people who are saying that they're prophets. Amen. So be very careful of that, people. Be very careful. God bless you, brother.
Oh, shalom, my brother. Shalom. Shalom, America. Well, good to hear your voice. And again, we have the privilege to share and fellowship and speak of the wonderful things of our Lord and our Christ, and share with people about his coming of his messenger, the Elias, in these last days, and a warning to all people, an awakening, and a preparation for the greatest revival and spiritual awakening in our point of the Holy Spirit, the preparing of people for Christ, warn the world of the coming judgment, destruction, and tribulation, get the ready, the saints ready for the great tribulation, the trying of their faith, and the purifying of their lives, the testing of their foundation. Well, we love you, and with a message of love, the gospel, to all of the people in all the world, this Brother Lee of the Windy City of Chicago, Illinois, USA. Windy with broad shoulders. Well, it seems like we're having a lot of street violence, crime, unusual, and an influx of illegal migrants to our city. So we need some broad shoulders of prayer, seeking the Lord for divine wisdom. So here we are tonight, Talk Block Radio. We thank God for the moderator, our brother Nathaniel Hunt, who's on the wall constantly with the broadcast, telling the world about the Christ and he's soon coming. Hallelujah. And the need of a greater spiritual awakening in America to save America and the world. We're in that same position as in the days of Noah, but yet we're in another situation as just before the day of Pentecost. So we got good news, and we got other news. But the greatest news is Jesus cares about you and gave his life. All right, this is Handmaiden Night. The handmaidens of the Lord, we greet the women, wives, and the handmaidens of the Lord around the world, the mothers, the caring people, the women who are the backbone. I call it the women are the backbone of the nation, backbone of their family, their children, the backbone of many things in this world. So we celebrate one of the greatest gifts God gave Adam, the woman, his wife. Not his girlfriend. I'm sorry. He didn't bring her in. Bring Adam a girlfriend. Isn't it strange? He didn't bring him two wives, three wives, four wives, Brother Nate. He didn't. I guess maybe he missed it. He was asleep. He brought him out of his rib, one, and he said they would be one, and that would be his helpmate, and one woman. Now he didn't bring him another man to marry, did he? Did he? I don't think he did. Well, I just want to make sure, just in case I'm not reading right. And he didn't bring Eve another woman so she could marry her. Okay. Well, I make mistakes sometimes, you know, and It's always good for people to be ready to correct you, put you on the right road. Hallelujah. Hello, Sister Anissa. I'm glad to hear your voice and share this hour of fellowship with you and the world, and Brother Anderson and your sons and grandchildren. Let's thank the Lord that our sons and our grandchildren are still with us another day. Can we just rejoice the Lord has kept, preserved them, another day. When we give thanks to the Lord for such a gift, you know, preserving our loved ones another day. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I think he's a good God. Great.
Yes, he is.
And faithful.
Yes.
So we thank him for our sons and daughters that he has preserved one more day. And our neighbors, the people far and near us and wide, many of them. But many, many, many women and mothers are crying today around the world and weeping because of certain sorrow has come upon them.
Their
children, their husband, wives. Some of them are taken away. Some are put in prison. Some are conscripted to the army. Some are just killed in the night. And so we should remember them and their sorrow, the people around the world, and make sure they have some good news coming from the other side of the planet called America. Even though America is in deep, deep, deep crisis mode and deep, deep ditch of what we call sin and iniquity, but yet there is some good in America, some great things yet in America. There's a great people, a remnant of people yet on the wall and holding the light and lifting up Jesus, and he's the Christ. So, Sister Anderson,
amen.
Wow, you drinking your what is that? Cranberries, transberry juice, all that good juice, whatever.
Whatever.
You know, I was going.
I'm not drinking like any pop, but I am juicing. And I have started to see what value there is. And I take my pineapples and my lemons and my bananas, and I wash them with vinegar and baking soda. And then I take the hull and I boiled it, and I drank the juice because of the nutritional value that's in the outer skin of the fruit. And yes, I am drinking water, the alkaline water, and I am juicing whatever I have, and I see that is getting close to going bad. I juiced, I juiced pineapples, honeydew melons, and cantaloupe.
Wow.
Yes, I am.
Wow. Wow, sister. Say, we're going to have you on national radio. Maybe you can save a lot of people from pain and sorrow and short life. Maybe that information or revelation or wisdom might be part of what Jesus said, live long and prosper and be in health. So,
I pray. I pray it is for me, but I'm trying to stay away from a lot of things, and I found out that some of my problems, I know you love tomatoes, but tomatoes cause me some of my problems. So,
you have a, certain people are kind of allergic to certain fruits. I think that the allergy of certain fruits to certain people is because some people are allergic to certain things, especially fruit, is because of fruit, what's in the fruit, in the growing of the fruit, they have put things on these fruits and vegetables and on the ground, and when you eat them, your body have a allergic because there's a lot of poison and stuff put on fruit in its growth today. And so when certain people have allergy, that means something in their body, they need to be thoroughly cleansed of poison, toxins, and chemicals out of their body. When they eat something, they have to be washed and cleansed now. Like you said, because of the way it's grown, you have to take the vinegar and the baking soda to cleanse a lot of fruit, and sometimes you have to soak it. Because now, I hate to say this negative, but a lot of these, the way we grow things, and especially in America, it's called, how would you call it? A cursed ground, trying to make money, so they put every kind of stuff to grow it quickly, clone it, and all that kind of stuff. So what do you think about all the clone stuff?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, a lot of the fruits and vegetables and things now, they actually shoot it up and it ripens right there. They actually do that. My husband he used to haul fruit and vegetables, and like the bananas, they would be really green, not yellowish green, but green. And it's something that they put on there, and they ripens right away. They turn right yellow right away. And so, yes, it's a lot of things that they're poisoning the people's body with, and the people really don't know it. And then it's a lot of things they have on the market that they say is best for you if it's organic. But everything that's labeled organic, they're trying to pass it off as organic. It is not organic.
Yeah. What caused that? Greed?
It's greed. Mm-hmm. Get more. Yes, that's it. It's greed.
So it seems like a lot of things are in the earth in a lot of days because of greed is causing us a lot of problems. In the last days, you know, it talks in the scripture about the different curses that would be upon the earth and because of man's greed and because of his desire for more money and wealth and using that selfish greed will cause much hurt in the earth. And,
amen.
You know, I remember when I was about 6 years old, living in a rural part of what you call the Deep South, Mississippi, Warren County, on a farm where the water that we drink, mostly from pump in the ground, getting streams from there, or from a system where the rain would rain and go into a system. At the bottom of the system, they put sulfur to kill all the stuff, and the rain would go into the system. And the water was so appetizing. I got to call it. You know, the water's not appetizing anymore.
It's not. But I do remember that as a kid, we grew up with a pump. You had to save a cup of water to prime it for the next time you used it. And I do remember, just getting a drink, it was like you was ready for it. You was just ready for it. It was so good. And it did not have to be refrigerated because it was cool when you would pump it out.
Wow. I mean, you could actually enjoy a cup of water. I mean, just like
good.
Enjoy. I mean, woo.
Yeah.
You know. And you come from the field in a hot field, and they come, and sometimes you take water to the field, and they take a cup of cool well water, spring water, or system water. I mean, I remember the water was so, but the water that we get today in a modern cities, it's, you know, you don't have no appetite. When you taste it, it's like, okay, I need water, but you know, it don't have no kind of, I mean, it's just, so, but anyway, the only thing we can do it is purify on your water system, put it a purifier if you live in a modern city. And if you don't have a purifier, you know, you can boil the water overnight, get all the film off it, and then run it through a filter, and that way you can kind of have some clean water. It's told that we have to pray over everything and sanctify it in the name of Jesus that it might be blessed. So,
amen.
That's a sure way. So anyway, when you start talking about juicing things up. Wow. Goodness gracious. My God.
Yes.
My God. And throwing away the pops and that white sugar. I would advise everyone, especially in the Western world of America, stay away from that refined white sugar. It is deadly. Now, I know if you haven't got anything else, then God is able to overrule it. You can put your hand on it and say, I ain't got nothing else. Or else you can do away with that white sugar. It don't have nothing to do with that refined sugar. That is the most deadly thing. White bread, if that's all you got, pray, blame, thank God. Thank you. If you had a choice, don't get that white bread because it stops up your whole system. But if you haven't got anything else, Lord, I thank you for it. I bless it in Jesus' name and for the glory of God. And move on. All right. You think we'd have made somebody mad or glad about this, sister? Somebody?
Yes. You've already made somebody mad.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Is this modern day that we were living, that we are living in, and, you know, people just want to do what they want to do, and they don't want you to tell them that it's bad for them, you know, they shouldn't do it, you know, and they do get upset when you try to, you know, change their mind and tell them what's good for you, and they will let you know how many years they've been doing it, so. But I'm just going to say that they don't know. Someone told me today, I was talking to them about their health, and they told me I was sick, and I didn't know I was sick, okay? It's a lot of people that's walking around sick and don't know they're sick, and I mean physical sick.
Yeah, because the symptoms of things often don't show itself, that people can be having certain things take place in the body. Certain diseases can go on without showing any symptoms until it get down to the third stage or worst stage. Then the symptoms might show up. It's just like a person, I talk to people about increasing their health in their days. I said, you know that in America, one out of three people smoke a cigarette, and they've been doing it for years and years. And the habit is habit forming, so they got stuff in there. So it's called nicotine. So it's habit. So you won't quit, and so you'll continue with all your life with that nicotine, and you'll make millions, billions, billions of dollars. So they put this nicotine in there. The tobacco was not made for human consumption, but the devil gave people the wrong knowledge, so they could destroy themselves. And so when people that smoke the cigarette, you see most people on the corner going down the street, even young people smoking cigarettes. Now they don't have to worry. They can smoke marijuana openly. I go to certain places. As soon as I step out of the car, I smell reefers. I smell marijuana. I smell all the stuff in the air, you know. I mean, they have no shame to their game no more, you know.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They get up with it, and they go with it, and they're looking for a relief. And the problem is that people are looking for a reap because of so much sorrow and grief and agony in their lives or in the earth or in their lives. They're looking for relief or looking for rest. And they're looking for some sort of rest in their minds or in their lives. And even the young people that are introduced, because the devil wants this generation. And I keep repeating this because the Bible says, and when he speaks about the next generation and the next generation, he tells us to pass the word of God, the legacy, the promises of God to the next generation to teach them that they may be blessed. And the next generation is more important than we think. Why the devil want to cut off the next generation? And God want to bless the third, fourth, and fifth generation. And God and the sin will curse the third, fourth, and fifth generation to stop them. Now, so the word of the Lord comes to set us free, that the next generation will be even blessed and be a blessing in the earth. And I think about just a little physical thing, how it affects your brain and your learning. You know that marijuana destroys brain cells? See, they don't care that you smoke marijuana. You're killing brain cells, and your brain cells cannot be replaced only except by a miracle. Now, so people are have been taking drugs and marijuana and shooting up, and they want rest or some kind of pleasure, relief from not knowing God and not being close to God, not knowing Jesus. And so they're looking for a substitute, and the devil gives us a substitute. He did that
Amen.
In the Garden of Eden. And he started
mm-hmm.
that all the way. And because we tried to share the good news that the Lord has revealed what is causing us pain, sorrow, in our physical, in our emotional, and most of all, in our own lives. So he came to reveal, manifest the knowledge of life and life abundantly. So many times people do not want to change, and they don't want
That's
you to
right.
tell them.
Amen.
And they like say, well, I got to die with something. Yeah, I've been doing this all my life. I don't quit now. We try to share with you freedom and liberty.
Yeah. Amen.
But you can't force anything on people. So many people are going to suffer because my people are destroyed because they won't hear right knowledge. And so it goes on and on. In America, people are eating themselves to death, are smoking themselves to death, are shooting themselves up to death. It's some kind of addiction that they're destroying their lives and passing on to the next generation. This is what the devil wants. It's passing on this generation to the third generation. Because God said, I'll spread righteousness, that will train your children up. And he says, on the first commandment, teach them, the next generation, tell them, show them, manifest to them. And so they'll know. So all of, in today in America, children are come being born and born without the even knowledge of their creator or their maker. I mean, the people are so bored of the homes knowledge of God of the Bible that our children, especially in American Western culture and around the world, are growing up in darkness and ignorance. And they live for the next moment. It's either some kind of pleasure, something that they're looking for. So, anyway, tonight, where's the other handmaiden? Anybody on? No?
Just y'all two.
All right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have something that I come to in understanding an important prayer that's prayed in the Bible. I call it probably the most powerful revealing prayer in the Bible is a revelatory prayer. A prophetic revelatory prayer for all people in all nations. And when Jesus prayed this prayer and left it on record, I don't think it was an accident that he left this particular prayer. When John, the beloved, the apostle, was given to leave and write this prayer that Jesus prayed before he was glorified. And he lifted up his eyes in the 17th chapter of John. Prayer reveals much. And it's the most perfect prayer. I call it, I've been, you know, looking at this prayer now and then all for years, the importance of why and what that prayer means that Jesus prayed. And he lifted up his eyes to heaven.
Yeah.
And he said, and the first thing he said, Father, my hour has come. Now, he had finished his task on earth, his task. And he was getting ready to go back home. And I was thinking about that prayer, how so much is revealed in that prayer. That many people do not look at the prayers that were prayed in the Bible. I look at some of the most perfect, complete prayers. The Apostle Paul prayed three important prayers, two of them in Ephesians, one in Colossians. And I think we need to attach ourselves to these spirit-revealed prayers they left on record. Hallelujah. I think we'll be blessed. Moses prayed one of the most important prayers over Israel and revealed much. Even Moses knew about the second coming of Christ, even though he may not. And this is strange. The first coming of Christ had even happened, and Moses not only saw the first coming of Christ, but the second coming of Christ. And you can see, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing how far ahead the Lord let the prophet see. And
amen.
And now we're living in the last days, what
yes.
we call the last generation before he comes. All right. You have some things you want to share with the handmaids and world, Sister Anderson, since we're here together and we acknowledge
yes,
Jesus and the Holy Spirit and his death and resurrection is soon coming and the coming of Elijah. We now said to the people, you can call in, no money, no charge, no scam, question, prayer, or something you want to say or you might want to know. And we love you. You may write. You have a computer, and you can send messages, emails, or texts, and we'll be glad to hear from you. And we're not going to ask you for any money, so don't get tricked. We don't have no letter sent out. I want you to understand it takes money to operate on this earth. That's not what I'm saying. Everything you do requires money in this earth mostly. But we don't ask you for any money. Only if the Lord of the Holy Spirit put in your heart that you want to give some, fine. Otherwise, we'll move on because God, Jesus, will always, always supply and provide to those that obey.
Amen.
All right now.
Well, yes, he will.
All right.
Amen.
Now.
Well,
and thank you, Jesus. Okay,
yes,
go ahead,
Lord.
Sister.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, I just give honor and glory unto my Lord. The true Lord Jesus Christ, and I just thank him, and I just thank him for what he has been doing, not only in my life, but, you know, I see the workings of Jesus Christ and other things and other phases, and I want to say this to the mothers because it's something that I have really, you know, it's certain things that you know the devil is busy, but it's yet certain things that you don't think would touch you. And I just say that I have experienced something, and I would say to the mothers, you know, and I had written a little note down to the headquarters some time ago, like last year, about praying for your children and pray for them. I don't care what age they are because they're still your child. And my husband, he made a statement once because someone's child back in Chicago when we was in the church, they says, I'm an adult now, so I can call you by your name. So my husband made the statement that the age deals the same whether you're adult or not. So I can just say that your children, other people's children, whatever, you know, hold them close, pray for them, and especially talk with them. I just went through a situation, and I would say my son and my daughter-in-law, they are going through it now. And I remember, you know, sometimes there is a word, because nothing happens without a warning. You know, there's always a warning. You might not pick up on that warning, but
yeah.
There's always a warning, you know. And it was something that, you know, I saw years ago. But, you know, a lot of times that devil, you know, that's why we need to put up his foot on that devil's neck. My step-granddaughter, she died September 5th of a drug overdose. And, you know, and she didn't tell me, but she had told, she has two other sisters and her mother, and she had actually told them. And see, when you speak these things out your mouth, the devil picks up on it and he hear these things. And she had actually told them, and I only found out the day after her death that she had told them that she knew already how she was going to die. She knew it was going to be from drugs. She had voiced that to her sisters and to her mother. And, you know, and she never said it to me. I only saw her on occasion. She was 32 years old, and she was living away from home. And I'm going to tell you, like I try to tell, you know, I talk to my girls and I talk to them, but I will say it again, as I said to some of the other brothers and sisters, you know, according to what the word said about raising your child up in the way they should go. But I'm going to tell you, for me, when I left my parents' home, and my parents didn't know anything about the Elijah message or the Church of Christ with the Elijah message, but things that I was taught, when I felt myself that I was going to do this and I knew it wasn't right, I would remember the word. I would remember the word that my mother taught me that she would say to us. And, you know, I thank God for that, that I wasn't a person that strayed. I'm going to say it like that, a person that strayed. And you know what I mean. But Ashley got out there and got mixed up with a guy. And this guy, her so-called boyfriend, was the one that actually started her on drugs and got her hooked on drugs. And she was in rehab a number of times. And the night that she died, they were able to use Narcan and bring her back, but her heart couldn't take it, and she went out again, and she never did wake up again. She died, but it was from drugs. And so to the mothers out there, I don't care how old your child is, I don't care how old, stay in touch with your children and find out what your children are doing. You know, one thing that I thought is that the parents, we don't talk to our children. You know, our children are there, and they think they so grown that you can't tell them anything anymore. Mm-hmm. But I thank and I praise the Lord how when he laid it on the sister's heart about praying for the children, because I'm going to say this. I have some 50-year-old, and they're still my children that need direction and need prayer. And my oldest daughter, she says sometimes, she said, some of the things mama say to me make me mad, but I get over it. But I thank God, you know, and because we have to, you know, I don't care how old they are, how grown they think they are. You know, these children, they grow up and they think because they're old enough to leave home that they are grown. And that's not always the case. That's not always the case. Yeah. But you are looking for, you will find somebody out there, whether it's good or bad, you're going to find somebody out there that will give it to you and mess you up. Ashley lost her life over thinking that she was grown and that her boyfriend knew more. And anybody that's out there think that they have a boyfriend, you do not need a boyfriend. You don't need a boyfriend. And, you know, I thank and I praise the Lord. And if you don't know anything about Jesus Christ, go and try to find out. Now, Ashley and her siblings, they grew up in the Church of God in Christ. So I know they know a little bit. They know a little bit about it. And I just, you know, right now my prayers are going out for, you know, it's my son's stepdaughter, but yet and still her mother is really having a hard time with this. But she told her mother she knew that she was going to die from drugs. And try to do for some of these children, you know, they stray anyway. But prayer is the thing. Prayer is the thing. And Jesus, they need to know the Lord, and he will direct. And he will direct.
Yeah.
I praise the Lord, you know, for all things, because
this message about our children and our children's children.
Yes.
Is an important message contained in the gospel and in the law and the commandments of God concerning our family members that begotten and we bring into the earth. And it talks a lot about, from the beginning in the Bible, gives a lot of instruction and wisdom as you go through the Bible about family, because God made the first family and created the first family on earth. And he gave some guidelines.
Yeah.
Direction.
Amen.
Because evil had come into the earth. Evil and sin and darkness spiritual had come into the earth through the fall and through Adam. And from then on, he gave specific instruction about what evil will do to get the generation thereof and the next generation. Notice when the Lord started his plan and manifested to a people called Israel, first of all, to a man called Abraham. Abraham was not a Jew and was not an Israelite. I know a lot of people say Abraham, but there was no such thing as an Israelite. There was no Jew, and Abraham was not either. He was a Hebrew. And Abraham was a Hebrew, a man, and he was God's special man, the one God, the true God. And you can get a lot of understanding by going back when he starts about, I will bless your seed. And he said now, and he speaks about what before his seed was even born. And before our children are even born, the Lord has a plan and purpose, but Satan stands to intercede.
Yes.
Right? Not only before they get born, while they're in the womb. Now, this needs to be explained about in the womb, why the life is in the womb, what's taking place during those 9 months. Now, the reason why Satan, the Lord God, told Israel and gave them a law concerning their family blessing, this blessing upon their descendants. Now, Abraham was told, I will bless your seed and your seed, and Abraham blessed Isaac, and Isaac blessed Jacob, and then Isaac and Jacob had 12 tribes, 12 sons, and they were to be God's special seed and special gift to the earth to bring salvation and truth. And Abraham was God's chosen man because he was a man after God's own heart, and he was a one God believer. He was a God believer of Noah and Melchizedek and Adam. And the knowledge was passed on from Adam to Noah to Melchizedek, king of Salem, and all the way down to Abraham. Now, the Lord preserved him, Abram. His name was Abram. Then after his obedience, God made a covenant with him. He changed his name to Abraham because he was sending him to a land called Ham. The land that he was going to capture was called Ham. So his name was changed to Abraham.
Yeah,
now,
okay.
This may be irrelevant. Canaanites was the land from the Hamites. And the Hamites, a lot of them are people what we call people of color. And we're not going to get into that tonight, but we're just giving some information. Now, but they were idol worshippers. All of Canaanites didn't know the true living God. Now, understand this. And lately, I've been seeing and I've been saying, Lord, you know, I really thank you for giving me the mother and the father you did. I'm just beginning to see, understand the precious gift of my mother and my father that you caused me to be born. I said, now coming to understand the importance of the gift that my mother and father gave to me in their lives. And then God reminded me of my grandmother on my mother's side, my grandmother, grandfather, were special people called Minerva and Jack. And I said, Lord, I'm just beginning to see some Bible truth on why we are born and given when we come into this world. God is ordaining special things upon our lives. Some people are born in bad, evil situation, terrible situation. But I am grateful, Lord, that I was born and you gave me the gift of my mother and my father. I said, I'm just beginning to see the preciousness of that and how they taught me and trained me and left the seed of impression upon my life and how important how they lived and what they taught and how they trained and had an effect upon my life and legacy. I see the importance of it now. I see the effects of them and theirs and their lives. And I was blessed. I said, Lord, you know, you really blessed me. I see some of my friends, some of their parents and kinfolk wasn't exactly the best people, but you give people an opportunity along the way to be blessed. No matter what situation they're in, along the way, you station yourself at a stop in their lives, or two stops, so they can go and turn to the way of the blessing, or go the other way, Mm-hmm. Now,
amen.
The legacy of the earth, when you go down, all the way down to after Adam, fall, and certain generations were more exposed to evil, and other generations of God's seed was more exposed to truth and righteousness. And so he told Israel, and understand this, in Israel, the law was every male child that was born. Every male child had to be taken to the temple and offered and given back to Jehovah.
Yeah.
Now, why was this important that every male child that breaks the matrix had to be offered unto the Lord? Soon as they were born, or 8 days, or whatever, I don't know when it's now, after 8 days, birth, or 30 days, or whatever, 30 or 30 birth, they had to be taken to the temple and dedicated and offered to the Most High. And this was a law and a command, a blessing, that the generation therein, thereafter, will be in the hand of the Most High God, and he will start them a road to be his seed and his blessed in the earth. Now, there's a reason why he said in Israel, his chosen people, that your children, that when you eat in your house and have your dinner and your supper, it must be a gathering, a family gathering of God in the midst, that you are to train and teach and tell them of the Creator and the Redeemer, especially who brought them out of bondage. And you are to train them and teach them.
Yeah.
And the best, and you had to teach them by example, not just by word. You were to tell them the law.
Mm-hmm.
But you also must fulfill the law of showing them.
Mm-hmm.
And the showing is the training. See, the showing is the training part. Now, I hear a lot of mothers and fathers of young ones on the street, do what I say. But they don't say, do as I do. Follow me in my example. Because they only have the words, but not the example.
Amen.
So they're telling the children, do right, but I ain't going to do right, and I'm not doing it, and I'm not going to hear, but oh, baby, well, one part of it's good, but there's not any victory or trial in there when a child don't see and you don't demonstrate to him.
Amen.
It was a funny thing when we was in Chicago. Sister Rogers says, Josiah, when he was little, who was on Wentworth, we'll come to church, and he'd be right behind me, and he said, I'd be watching him. He'd walk just like you. He'd follow right behind you and walk just like you. Boom. So, children learn.
Yes.
And we are their first teachers.
Amen.
The mother is the first teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The father is right there. But most times the father is not there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the void that's now in our society.
Yes.
America.
Amen.
The father is not there. Mm-hmm. If he's there, he's just passing through.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does not know the possibility of bearing a child, a life in the earth. That's a calling. It's called fatherhood.
Yeah.
It is the most important calling. We ain't got to the church yet because the father and the mother are the church in the first beginning.
Right.
We try to think that it all begins with the church. No, it does not. It starts with them two people. The family, the mother and the father, you go back through the Bible, and it starts with the family setting the man, the husband, and the wife. Now, in the beginning, before the fall, he did not ordain for have all these wives and concubines and all that kind of stuff. That was not in his original plan, his purpose for man. He gave us the original setting.
Mm-hmm.
So we hear the world is in darkness. And one of the reasons, you look at the family setting, is in chaos. And the family is in chaos, disorder, because Satan is now able to do what he can do because the family setting is out of disorder.
Amen.
And people say, how is he able to do? Because we have given him the right, because the family is out of order and out of setting that God ordained, so Satan has a legal ground to come into families and children and do what he's doing, especially in America.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
So we need the mayors and the governors need to try to stop blaming the police by all this evil and start putting the blame on the parents or whatever the responsibility of their children, what's happening in the society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the calling upon being a father, now, the Creator becomes a father. But because we fell, we needed a son to redeem us back to the Father.
Right.
Now, the example that we see in America, and especially they want the preacher and the teacher to take responsibility for being the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to be in America to see how it goes.
Yeah.
They want to take the responsibility and give all the responsibility. Go to school and let the teacher deal with your hard-headed self or this or that. They want the preacher, two people. Now, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
They play a part, but they play a role, but no, it's you and I that gave birth.
Amen.
It is the father that has the greater responsibility.
Yes.
And the mother, hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, when you look in the Bible, a God's order and a way to keep the devil out, we have opened the door and the devil is doing what he do. When you get out of order, out of God's spiritual order and command, you open the door for Satan to cause havoc. And he's causing havoc in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
Because we open the door. Hallelujah. We have rejected the order of Christ. We reject the order of family and marriage and children. People want to live in relationship without being responsible as a husband and wife. They say, we're already married. Just long we can. What are you in that relationship? For your own comfort and for your own pleasure, not for responsibility to call of God. Oh, I just want, that's my babe. That's my bill babe. Well, I tell you what. In our society, this is why we have to start the male child is very important, and why the woman child is very important to be trained early.
Yeah.
Because the woman is more susceptible in certain things in the earth because of the man out of place.
Mm-hmm.
What he's doing, he wants to manipulate and use for his own pleasure. That's called the tree that they ate of, the apple.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants the woman not to be married and the children be trained in the image and likeness of God. Now he just want to use one another for pleasure and for convenience.
Yes.
Pleasure and convenience.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Pleasure and convenience for their comfort.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He don't want the covenant of marriage. Why do the devil not want the covenant of marriage in the earth? You ask the average person, they know the legal part of it, but they don't know the spiritual part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Why the Lord ordained a covenant of marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Say it again. Why does the covenant marriage stop certain things? Even though they may not stay together, but the covenant of marriage is set in place.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important to stop what the devil going to do and what God's going to bring about, the covenant of wrath? That's why the devil don't want people, one of the reasons why he don't want people to get married.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And people don't know why. Well, it just says they have been taught, we just love one another. No, you just in heat just like a dog. That's all that is. Mostly that's just like a heat, like a dog.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
I know people don't like me, but human beings, they do. They well, why are you marrying her? She's pretty. What? That ain't got, what? Do you think that's going to sustain a marriage relationship that God ordained? Are that the reason? Are that the sole reason? Oh, That's what them dogs do when they go down the street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get off of that because I make the whole world mad. Make myself mad.
got about 2 minutes, brother.
Okay.
Man.
Let me get the 2 minutes in. Why the marriage? Why we have to continue to pray and offer our children unto God, even from the birth. And even while they get grown, you got to bring them to the altar of God continually. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and make a proclamation against the devil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you come before the altar, you have to go back to the promise he made to Abraham concerning the seed, how his seed would be blessed because of a covenant that Abraham made. And even when our children get outside, they will remember what God planted them through the parents, will cause them to remember.
Yeah.
And it's important that we reach out to the children of the earth.
Amen.
In various forms, and not our children, but the children that people are struggling with around the world, don't have a father, don't have a mother, they're orphans. We got to be aware that God has called to us to care about the orphans.
Yeah.
As we leave, present the love of Christ to them. Be a mother and a father where they need it.
Yeah.
But many of them don't have.
So true.
Now, Jesus loves us, and he gave his life.
Yes.
And he's coming back soon.
Amen.
We need to understand the call. As we end this broadcast, Jesus, wherever you are, remember your children are very important as well as your life unto God.
Yes.
Keep in mind that he has a plan for them as well as for you. Mm-hmm. Jesus is Lord. He's calling you and your children.
Yes.
May the Lord bless you as you read the word in the gospel, and your children and your next generation be blessed.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. And once again, may the Lord bless you all and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.